This is KC 107.7 FM. The sound that sets you free.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today we have a very special guest, Kitsumetse Sisana, the acting deputy CEO from the South African Institute of Taxation, to discuss the upcoming SARS personal tax window. But for now, we've got a lot to discuss and a lot to unpack. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music and we'll see you shortly.
This is KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, we are speaking to Kitsumetse Sisana, the acting deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Firstly, how are you doing this week? And secondly, congratulations on getting the accounting officer designation finally for SAIT.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me today, Connor. I look forward to this engaging discussion with you. And yes, very positive news. So we've got the accounting officer designation. This has been a lot of hard work on the part of SAIT over a number of years, engaging extensively with the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition to get this over the line. And we're pleased to announce, as you would have seen on our social media, that we have rolled out, you know, a campaign notifying our members of the fact that if you're doing the numbers, you can now sign off on the numbers and essentially house your tax and your accounting here with us at SAIT. So please do look out for more aggressive marketing that will come out on that. And we specifically targeted the filing season. I know we'll unpack this in a couple of minutes, that will kick off next week so that our members are able to do both. And if you're not a member of SAIT, now is the time to join.
So as a member, I have to say, as soon as I saw it, I was just absolutely so excited for you guys, because I mean, I'm a tax practitioner from South African Institute, but what I had to do is I had to be registered under cyber in order to become an accountant in practice. So to have both in one body is obviously a bonus for me as a professional.
Indeed. And you're echoing the sentiments of many of our members who have had to straddle dual memberships in order to, you know, function in their various respective business lines. And that's why we were doing this to push and have everything housed here with SAIT, where we give you all the additional benefits. And now you can actually sign off and get the designation. If you do go, we already rolled this out onto our website. So you're able to add this onto your current membership type. And then you have the add-on. And of course, you'll see the additional pricing there, which is actually quite affordable to our members. We understand the economy in which we operate, so we're not trying to have this as a huge money spin. This is a value add for our members, so you're able to see what the requirements are there, but it can also stand alone, you know. So all the business accountants out there that also want to straddle to get to the tax end, we're definitely here to support you as well. And thank you, Connor, as one of our members expressing the interest in this particular designation, and we're definitely very excited about this win.
So today we're specifically talking about the upcoming tax window. Let's start with the basics. Yeah. When does the personal tax season officially open and close this year? And who is required to submit these returns?
Thank you so much for the question. So you'd have seen, I think it's been rolled out in various media platforms, and SARS itself has communicated the date. So similar to last year, the season for this year, the filing season, will open up with auto-assessment notices being generated and sent out on the 7th of July until the 20th of July. So those are the auto-assessment notices. Your more generic or standard, easier individual taxpayers fall within this group. And they have, you know, all the information that has already been pre-populated during the employer reconciliation period that closed on the 31st of May, that now pulls through, and the third-party data that is now pulled through to SARS. And because of the AI engine, they're able to auto-assess you at the very beginning of the filing season. And then from the 20th of July, the non-provisional taxpayers will then have the opportunity to file their returns from the 21st of July. But cumulatively, the filing period or the filing season will close on the 20th of October for normal individual payers, and taxpayers as well as your non-provisional taxpayers, the second tranche. Then your provisional taxpayers overlapping therewith from the 21st of July will then be able to submit their returns until the 19th of Jan. So just to repeat that, the filing period will open on the 7th of July to the 20th of July with auto-assessments being populated by SARS. Non-provisional taxpayers, the second tranche, will then be allowed to file between the 21st of July and the 20th of October together with the first tranche of people that open on the 7th of July. Then your provisional taxpayers will come in on the 21st of July and they have until the 19th of January 2026 to file their returns. Trusts, on the other hand, from the 19th of September 2025 will be able to file their returns until the 19th of Jan 2026. So there's quite a bit of overlap on the dates, but the essential date is to know that on the 7th of July, it's all systems go.
So what are some of the key changes or updates in the 2025 tax season that individual taxpayers should be aware of?
So one of the major key changes that were announced in last week, actually, and we have sent this through to our members, is the fact that non-provisional or provisional taxpayers would generally only be able to file from the 21st of July until the 19th of January. But a significant change this year is that SARS is now going to invite certain provisional taxpayers to file when the filing season opens on the 7th of July. So it's pulling everybody in who wants to file a bit earlier and to be auto-assessed, and those provisional taxpayers can express their interest to do so. This is a welcome change. When I've looked at the technical amendments and we've discussed it in-house, this might be the push from SARS to have everything a bit more automated and more streamlined for the tranche that will be auto-assessed, the provisional taxpayers and the non-provisional taxpayers, but also to afford the provisional taxpayers additional time and more automated service should they wish to do so. So that's a major change that has now come in. Another change is the fact that with your claiming of your Section 6 quat, for example, credits against the taxes that you've already paid, traditionally you would have had to keep record of those tax credits on your records as a taxpayer, but now SARS will automate and keep those records for you and will carry this forward for a six-year period as per usual. But it helps to streamline the administration on the part of the taxpayer, which is also welcome. Another change are just some new source codes that have been introduced for backdated salaries and dividends, which has been introduced there. There's also the returns, the various returns that will be filed. If you look at Section 9H, cessation of residency. So there will be two returns that will be issued in respect of a taxpayer that has ceased to be a tax resident in this particular year of assessment. So you'll be filing your return for the portion that you were a resident. So there you will have the resident wizard available to you. And then you also have to file the return for the portion that you were not a tax resident. And the non-resident wizard will be available to you there. So those are some of the key changes that we've seen come through this year as announced by SARS last week. All the other changes are very cosmetic, welcome changes. But the key one is going to be the fact that provisional taxpayers are now pulled into the auto-assessment group of taxpayers, and then those various returns that have to be filed for residents and non-residents.
That's actually quite, relieving, because a lot of the time, the big thing that my clients usually ask is, do they need to keep so much documentation on them? And that's actually bringing me to my last question for this segment, which is, what documentation should taxpayers start gathering now to be ready for the tax window?
Excellent. And I love that question, Connor, because we always get tripped up with the documentation, that even though it's very important to note for the listeners now that even though you are for example, part of the group that's going to be auto-assessed. So your third-party data should already be pulled in from your medical aid, from your employer, IRP5. If you've got an RA, you have those certificates, etc. That should be pulled in. But if you have additional information that should have been loaded, for example, a travel logbook, you know, you need to be aware of those sort of things if you qualify, if you have those sort of things on your payroll. So those are the types of information that you need to gather so that when you are assessed and you have an assessment, it's the correct information that you're being assessed upon. So some important documentation that we have recommended, of course, your IRP5, which should have gone through already with the employer reconciliation period that ended on the 31st of May. But it's important for you to check that the details are correct thereon. Check that the source codes are correct. Check that the remuneration that you've earned and your taxable income, that's all correct information that SARS is assessing you on. Your medical aid certificates, as I mentioned, and any out-of-pocket expenses, proof thereof, that you need to claim, your slips from your doctors, your invoices, have all of that on hand. Your retirement annuity fund certificates, your interest and dividend certificates, both for local and for foreign. If you're claiming travel deductions, then your travel logbooks, ensure that you have all the information there from your employer, your opening kilometers, your closing kilometers, your proof of payments where relevant, so that you are able to claim those deductions or justify why you were claiming those deductions, your rental income records, so your lease agreements, your bond statements. And if you're a business or a freelancer, then all your income statements in that regard. So this is some of the information or documentation that you should have prepared ahead of filing season opening on the 7th of July, so that if you're called upon to substantiate certain of your calculations, you have the documentation readily available.
Absolutely. The one thing I always say to my clients is that in the tax season, your admin actually saves you money. And in some cases, it can actually make you the money. But I think that's the one thing that I think people need to take away from this segment is that your administration, if you get your admin in place, it's honestly going to save you so much money. But for now, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music. And when we come back, we will continue.
This is Casey 107.7.
And we are back. Once again, we are speaking to Kitsumetsi Sasana, the acting deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Today, we are once again talking about the upcoming personal tax window. And I'm going to go right into it, Kitsume. The one thing that everyone keeps asking me is, what are the common mistakes that taxpayers should avoid when filing their tax returns?
Excellent question. So SARS has made it really easy. We know the commissioner is very data-driven, third-party data-driven, etc. So they'll generate these auto-assessments. It is important for you to consult the services of a tax practitioner if you're not a tax practitioner yourself, or if you are not an apt taxpayer, which is really not a terrible thing. If you don't know the T's and I's of tax, then please consult a tax practitioner to see whether or not the auto-assessment that has been generated is correct. Because with auto-assessments, as we know in the previous year, you don't really have to do anything. Once SARS has auto-assessed it for you, and there is instances of error that might come in, if something wasn't calculated correctly, or you need to substantiate, or you need to submit additional documentation, you know, to reduce the liability. And those risk engines or, you know, the AI engines might not pick it up, you know? So it's important for you to verify your auto-assessment before the 20th of October 2025, because if you don't accept or deny it, SARS will take it unilaterally as an accepted assessment and will go through. And if you have a liability, you will then owe SARS. It'll be very difficult. Now we're getting into dispute at that stage on what you need to do. So avoid that by checking your auto-assessment. Common mistake, not just accepting. The second thing is check your documentation. Submitting outdated documentation or information that is incorrect is going to flag you for an audit. So you don't want to submit documentation that doesn't speak to what you're claiming or what you are claiming as a deduction in terms of your taxes. So check that the documentation is up to date and that it's accurate. One common mistake that we also see, we know we live in an era of e-filing profile hijacking your banking details. Ensure that those are up to date. If you know that you're due a refund and you see it on your assessment and SARS says 72 hours and it's now 73 hours, you haven't received it, people come to us and say, but what's going on here? Common mistake, don't just accept the information, check that it is correct. Things like your banking details. In fact, on that note, Connor, one of the interesting changes that have been put in place here is that SARS is going to present a list of the verified banking details that they have on their records. And taxpayers will have to choose which is the transaction or the account that they wish to transact on, which is a welcome change, I think, where we shake hands with SARS to see where the money is supposed to go to if you owe the refunds. That's very important. And the last one, don't miss the deadlines. The filing season closes on the 20th. Ensure that you filed way ahead of that or in January if you're a provisional taxpayer or a trust.
You know, the one misconception that I've been dealing with quite a bit in the last, let's say, 6 months is I had a young client who came to me and he said to me, you know, SARS has come to me and SARS has said that I was supposed to do my tax return, but I was under the impression that my employer was supposed to submit my returns. So I think it's great that we're having this conversation because as young people, I still consider myself young, even being 30. But as young people, I feel like you're not told in school, listen, it's important you do your tax returns. This actually only comes to us when we start our first jobs or our first real jobs. We're earning above that pay as you earn tax bracket.
Indeed, indeed. So the responsibility still lies with you, the individual taxpayer. SARS has, gone, I like to say, maybe contracted the employer just to make it easier for you to file your return. But you are the individual who's ultimately responsible. Yes, we interpose the services of tax practitioners, for example, but it's ultimately the taxpayer's responsibility to make sure that you've filed, you've paid the liability if it's due to SARS, if the liability is due to you, that you engage with SARS, whether it's through the tax practitioner or yourself. But the responsibility is not that of the third party information provider. It's not your medical aid. It's not your employer. It rests on you. And this is a critical conversation, Connor, which we'll unpack maybe, at another time, is that the education system currently doesn't gear up, taxpayers for the responsibilities that they'll face when they become liable to pay their taxes. That all too often the curriculum is focused on very high level things and not the day-to-day stuff, like what are taxes, how do you file, what is a return. More often, and I can attest to it too, that when I started my first job, that's when I actually saw what a tax return looks like. And at that point, it's, on the job training, which made it a bit harder. So introducing this much earlier and educating taxpayers is important. But SARS is coming to the table because the information is there. It's on their website. It's in their guides. It's important that we consult it in order to know what our responsibilities are.
Let's look at some tips for individuals during this filing season. Can you walk us through the typical steps a taxpayer should follow when filing their tax return via e-filing or the SARS Mobi app?
This is a really simple process. You're going to log in, or alternatively, if your tax practitioner's got the power of attorney, they will then log in for you. There are, of course, certain instances where the taxpayer, certain information must be verified by the tax practitioner, should have certain information verified by the taxpayer. If certain things need to be changed, there will be OTPs that will be sent to the taxpayer. So you walk the journey with the tax practitioner, but on a high level basis, you log into the various platforms, whether it's e-filing or SARS Mobi app. There are various express tabs for quick access where you can, request your return for the period. You can review your return or edit your return, particularly if you've been auto-assessed, so check if everything is right. Generate a calculation. If you're happy, you submit, and then you can track the process or the status thereof. Just on a high-level basis, that's how it would work. But it's important that you understand what it looks like and also let your tax practitioner guide you through it, if that is the contract or the services that you're using.
Absolutely. And what are some tax deductions or rebates that individual taxpayers often overlook?
So there are legitimate tax deductions and rebates that we overlook because we didn't keep the records. So if you look at out-of-pocket medical expenses, SARS does allow certain medical expenses, you know, credits, so medical costs that are not covered by your medical scheme. If you have expenses for dependents with disabilities that will require an ITR double D form that has information such as what did you pay for your specialist visits? How much did you pay for your chronic medication, your therapy, your dental, your optical care? It's important that you keep a record of those sort of expenses so that you can get a corresponding deduction where appropriate. You need to keep a receipt of your proof of payments because SARS might request this during verification. If you are an employee who gets a travel allowance, so you're a taxpayer that gets a travel allowance, a deduction for business travel is allowed if you receive that allowance or you use a company car. In that case, it's important for you to keep a detailed logbook. As I mentioned earlier, you're opening your closing odometer readings are important. Your business trip details must be clearly stipulated there. I cannot express this importance. Connor, actually, my brother-in-law is currently sitting with a huge liability because he has a travel allowance, but he wasn't keeping the expenses. And now he has to, and wasn't keeping this detail. And now he has to pay SARS and go into payment arrangements accordingly. So ensure that you have all the official SARS logbook templates that you're ensuring compliance. Another thing that is overlooked, your Section 18A donations, for example. So if you're a PBO, certain deductions are approved for public benefit organizations, but that requires that you have valid Section 18 Cap A certificates that have the name of the PBO, the reference number, the amount that was donated, the confirmation that the details qualify under Section 16 and Section 18 Cap A, sorry. So those are some of the things that we overlook, that if we had proper records in place, it's important that we keep it so we can get the deduction. If you're using a home office, we know that SARS does allow a portion thereof of your dedicated home space that you use for work, that you use regularly and exclusively for work as a deduction. What you can claim there are certain expenses, for example, your rent in proportion, your electricity, your internet, your cleaning, which is prorated to the space that you use exclusively for work. But there's strict requirements that you need to comply with in order to justify that. So those are certain of the deductions that we often overlook or rebase that can lower our liability. But in all these respects, accurate documentation is essential.
So basically, admin is always key, especially with these deductions.
Always. It's better for you to keep more information than not enough information, because if you ask, you know, if your tax return is verified and SARS is going to ask for the information, it's best that you just keep more on hand so that you're able to produce accordingly.
So my final question for this segment is, what should someone do if they've missed the deadline or submitted an incorrect return?
Very important for you to file as soon as possible, even if you've missed the deadline, because we know that there are admin penalties for non-compliance, so not submitting your return. Those run automatically. It's very important for you to file and request for corrections as soon as possible, as you've been made aware of the mistake. If you're unsure of what to do, contact a tax practitioner, because I understand in that time it might be very overwhelming. It's 21st of October, the 22nd, I missed it. What's going on? We have people who can help. Tax practitioners or even SARS can actually assist you in order to regularize your affairs. But don't sit on it, because penalties will run for non-compliance.
Absolutely. I think that's the most key part of it, especially if you're going to do your application to get those penalties squashed, right?
Exactly.
You still need to do your tax returns. Those tax returns are absolutely fundamental just to do that application. So yes. I think that is the most important thing. Get your returns up to date and then take it from there, and then see what you and SARS can do. SARS is not the bad guy. SARS is very understanding, actually. It's just about keeping the communication with SARS open and transparent. But thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found today's discussion valuable. We'll see you same time, same place. God bless.
Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.